Well, hey, and welcome to the Gawler Uniting Church podcast. I'm Josh Shearer, the lead pastor for our church. I hope this message encourages you and builds your faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If we can help you in any way, please reach out at hello@gawleruniting.org.au. Enjoy the message.
How are we, church? Today I'm bringing you the Bible reading. It's Hebrews 11, verses 23 to 29. It's on the screen for me. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born, because they saw he was no ordinary child and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God, rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as the greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He preserved because he saw him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and the application of blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. Is that everything? This is the word of the Lord.
Can you hear me? There we go. We don't have that blaring video this morning. Sure, some people were grateful for that. We doing all right this morning? We enjoyed the weather the last couple of days. It's a bit miserable today though, so that's all right. It's getting warmer, coming into spring and summer. All right, well, welcome. If you're new or visiting, it's great to have you along. If you don't know me, my name is Angus, and I'm delighted to be bringing the word for you guys this morning. If you're just joining us, we are 3 weeks into a series called Heroes of the Faith, where we're looking at important figures in biblical history and just working out what we can learn from them, what they did well, what they failed at, and what we can learn from that. In the first week, Josh spoke about Abraham. Last week, Ken spoke about Joseph. And today, I'm going to be tackling Moses. Moses was a pretty cool dude. He did some pretty cool things with God's help. If I were to just name some of the highlights, he freed the Israelites from slavery to one of the most totalitarian dictatorships the world has ever seen. That was ancient Egypt. He split apart the Red Sea because it was in his way. He climbed the Mount Sinai and collected the famous Ten Commandments. Most impressively to me, I think, is that he led a whiny, grumbling group of Israelites through the desert for 40 years. Like, that's pretty impressive. But what makes Moses' faith so strong isn't the fact these things happened. I don't think that these things and God doing all these incredible things through him would have been the catalyst for his faith. I think they would have helped for sure, but I think there's something even more important than those things. Even more important that would have allowed him to become the spiritual giant that he is today, to become one of the people who was closest to God throughout the whole Bible. So before I jump into it, would you pray with me, church? Father God, we thank you for your word, the miracle that it's still with us today, thousands of years after it was first written. God, I pray that as I speak this morning, that your wisdom will be coming through me, your spirit will be giving me the words to say, and that I'll be declaring your truth into the world this morning. I pray for open hearts and minds, that people will be receiving to your spirit and what you have to say to them this morning. Amen. All right, who has a pet? Anyone got a pet? Who's a dog person? Cat person? I like both. I have two dogs at home though. One of them's called Miff, one of them is called Fergal. I was going to get photos to show you, but I completely forgot. But they're beautiful, I love them. They're half golden retriever, half poodle. Grudel for short, which is one of my favourite words in the English dictionary. I remember when we first got them, my dad wasn't keen on them at all. He brought up two golden retrievers throughout his life, and so he was done with dogs. But me, my mum, my sister, and my brother, we all wanted another dog. So we were like, Dad, please, can we get a dog? And it was four against one, so of course he had to cave in and give us a dog. He said, fine, you can have it, but I'm not training it, and I'm not cleaning up its poo. And I thought, they're pretty fair terms. So, of course, we got Miff. And then a year later, we got Fergal as well. But I was 12 at the time. My brother was 10. My sister was 6. And we didn't quite understand this whole concept of responsibility. So all that training that needed to be done and all that poo that needed to be picked up, didn't happen. And now 10 years later, I was sort of dealing with the consequences of that because they are very poorly trained. They don't do a very good job unless you're giving them food. If you're giving them food, they're more than happy to sit, they're more than happy to shake. Outside of that, they are shocking. You let them inside and they just don't settle. They're running around, they're jumping on the furniture, getting their dirty paws on my bed, on the couch, they're scratching up the floorboards. You take them out on a walk and they're just yanking on the lead. They don't understand that it's choking them. It's just so much effort taking them for walks because you spend more time trying to get them to stop and behave than you do actually walking. But I still love them more than anything in this world. They're beautiful. I wouldn't trade them for the world. But they just don't listen. Does anyone else have pets that don't listen? Yeah, a couple of people. Oh, it's probably a bit late now. That would have been good 10 years ago. Well, if you don't have pets, maybe you've got some kids who don't listen. I've picked up on the fact that kids aren't always very good at listening. I know this because I was once a kid, and I was pretty bad at listening sometimes. I remember my mum and dad would always tell me, don't play video games in the night. So they'd send me to bed at 9 o'clock, and 9:05 I'd be on my little video game playing Pokemon till 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. They kept catching me, they knew I was doing it, but after a while they just sort of gave up and let me reap the consequences of my actions, which was often just getting in trouble at school for falling asleep during lesson time. But I'm sure we can all recall a time when someone just doesn't listen. And it is really frustrating. It gets us really riled up. If you're a parent, like I said, you might be frustrated when your kids don't listen. If you're married, maybe your significant other doesn't listen. Maybe you're the one who doesn't listen. If you're playing a team sport, maybe your team doesn't listen. At work, maybe your boss or your co-workers don't listen. Sometimes you might even feel like God doesn't listen. It is really frustrating when people just don't listen to us. Now imagine how God feels after the people who he created continue to disobey and continue not to listen after thousands and thousands of years. I get tired of my dogs after taking them for a walk for an hour. I wouldn't stand a chance if I was God. I just think it's a great insight into the patience of our God, who's just so filled with love and grace and continues to forgive us unconditionally. With this in mind, let's head back to Moses. Like I was saying before, there's a myriad of accomplishments that Moses achieved throughout his lifetime. But I think there's one thing in particular that we can really learn the most from in Moses' faith. Something a lot of people in the Bible failed at. Something a lot of people did well, but even more people failed at. It's something that's constantly hammered throughout the scriptures, and yet it's something we still aren't very good at doing today. So, this brings me to my big idea. If you take anything away from today, just remember this, all right? Write it down, record me saying it if you like. Just don't forget this, all right? You ready? A heroic faith is built on listening. A heroic faith is built on listening. If we read through the story of Moses, we are faced with a man who arguably spent more time listening to God than almost anyone else in the Bible.
with the exception of Jesus, of course. You read through Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, where Moses' story is told, and just huge chunks of those books are just God speaking to Moses, telling him a bunch of different things. He speaks to Moses from a burning bush and tells him to free the Israelites from slavery. He gives Moses the Ten Commandments and a bunch of other laws as well for the Israelites to follow. Moses did a lot of listening. We even read about him climbing to the tops of mountains and retreating into the tabernacle, which was like their little temple for God. And he spends days on end at the top of a mountain or in this temple, just listening to God, spending time with his heavenly Father. I might move this away from the speaker. There we go. Moses spent so much time listening to God that in Exodus chapter 33, verse 11, it says this: God would speak to Moses face to face, as one speaks to a friend. I think this is one of the most beautiful and intimate and deep relationships we read about in the Bible, between God and his creation. I imagine after 40 years spent in the desert leading the Israelites, following God's direction, following his guidance, Moses would have perfected the art of listening. Here's a quick little lesson in ancient languages for you. In Hebrew and ancient Greek, the word for listen is shema. Can you say that for me? Shema. Very good. Now, shema doesn't just mean listening or hearing the way that we might understand it today. It's a little bit more than that. For the ancient Hebrews, shema meant to listen and obey. To listen and obey. You see, the Hebrews didn't actually have a separate word for obey. Are we getting some buzzing? No? Okay. They didn't have a separate word for obey. To listen was to obey. Listening and doing were two sides of the same coin. There was no distinguishing between the two. This is why you read in the books of the prophets about people who have ears, but they don't listen. This is why Jesus is saying to all those who have ears, let them hear. Let them shema. He's not just telling people to listen to him, but to also do as he says. Shema means to listen and obey. I think this would have been one of the hallmarks of Moses' faith. He wouldn't have become such an important figure in Christian history if he didn't shema to God. I think we only read of one instance throughout all of Moses' story where he failed at this listening and obeying. The Israelites were really thirsty. Of course they were, they're in the desert. So God told Moses to speak to a rock and water would come out of it. But Moses, frustrated with the Israelites, with their whinging, he hit the rock with his staff instead of speaking to it. Seemingly small act of disobedience, but it was enough for God to refuse him entry into the promised land to the Israelites. This shows us the importance that God puts on listening and obeying. If you're not familiar with the rest of the story of the Exodus, it's a great story. I highly recommend you go back and read it. But God and Moses free the Israelites from slavery to Egypt so they can enter the promised land. And God makes a covenant agreement with them. Basically, Moses climbs to the top of Mount Sinai. He gets the Ten Commandments. He comes back down and God says, if you follow these 10 rules, I'll have your back. Life will be great. And the Israelites thought, sounds pretty good. We can do that. But of course, as soon as Moses goes up the mountain again, they break the first rule straight away. The first rule is that you would have no other gods to worship. But as soon as Moses goes back up, they built a fake god to worship instead of God. Because of their reluctance to shema, God also refuses them entry into the promised land, and instead, only the next generation, their children, will get to enter. But this isn't the only example of God commanding people to listen. I really love the book of James in the New Testament. as one of my favorite passages in Scripture. Chapter 1, verses 22 to 25. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at their face in a mirror and after looking at themselves goes away and immediately forgets what they look like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. God blesses those who listen and obey. It's one thing to read the Bible and know what it says, to understand it, but at the end of the day, that's just knowledge. And I'm sorry to say, but knowledge doesn't count for much in the kingdom of God. You look at the Pharisees in the Old Testament, they knew a lot. They knew the Old Testament scriptures better than anyone else. And they were the very ones who nailed Jesus to a cross. It's the application, the obedience that God rewards. It's great to know things, it's great to learn. I think you should do that, but don't make that your be-all and end-all. Spiritual maturity lies in obedience. And that's why Moses became such an important figure. He didn't just listen to God, he also obeyed him. This applies to us today as well. Just like the Israelites, if we forget to Shema, to God, we won't get to experience the full life God intended for us. If we refuse to listen to God, to obey him and his commands, we'll never get to reach the true freedom that comes with a life fully surrendered to him. If you want to become humble, if you want to serve people the way that Jesus did, you won't get there while you continue to find ways to make yourself look good, while you continue to glorify yourself in pride. If you want to become someone who's a non-anxious presence, someone who's just at peace with themselves, with the world, their relationships, their work, their money, you won't get there while you continue to try and do everything yourself. If you want to become someone of love, of compassion, you won't get there while you continue to watch pornography. We all have goals and aspirations as to who we want to become. Regardless of whether you're young, like me, 21, or if you're in your twilight years, there's always more growth to do, and I think you always have a vision of to who you want to become, who God wants you to be. And to achieve these goals, we need to learn how to Shema, how to listen to God's call and obey when he speaks. But this is getting increasingly hard to do in today's society. Busyness, hurry, and noise have become ingrained into our everyday life, and it's destroying our ability to listen. Not just to God, but to each other as well. John Ortberg is a great Christian author and theologian, and he has this to say about hurry. Hurry is the great enemy of a spiritual life. You must ruthlessly eliminate hurry from your life. You can't have a healthy relationship with God built on listening when you're constantly on the go. You don't become good friends with someone just by saying hi as you walk past each other down the street or down the hallway. It's the same with God. You don't become friends with God. You don't get to know God while you're throwing up 5-second prayers a couple of times a day just to fill your quota. That's not how God works. That's not how relationships work. It only happens when you take time out with him to get to know him through his word and hear his voice in times of silence. We can't expect to recognize God's voice in the noise and the busyness of life if we don't even know what it sounds like in the silence. This was easy for Moses to do. He was out in the desert. He could just climb a mountain or hide away in the tabernacle. But he also didn't have a smartphone in his pocket, with a 24-hour news cycle and constant access to his email and social media. There weren't cars and trucks barreling down highways. Silence was very easy for Moses to find, and that was why he grew so close to God. He frequently took time out to sit in the silence with God, and we need to do the same. Something I've been doing a couple of days a week at the moment is waking up half an hour earlier than I normally would and just spending that half an hour reading my Bible and just trying to listen to God. My goal is to do it every single day, but I'm still working my way up to that. It's pretty hard getting up early every day. But let me tell you, those days when I do it, they're the best days of my week. They're the days I feel closest to God. They're the days I feel more at peace with myself. So if you don't already have a habit of spending time with God on a regular basis, I would absolutely recommend you do it. Based on my personal experience, it's just been incredible. Do that instead of watching The Bachelor or The Bachelorette or whatever's on at the moment. Wake up a little bit earlier, like I do. Find a place to sit. In bed, in the study, the backyard, the beach, anywhere you can go. Lock yourself in the bathroom for 10 minutes. Just anywhere you can go to sit in the silence. Just listen to God. Close your eyes. Invite the Holy Spirit to come and speak to you. Turn off your phone and just sit in the peace and the love of God, listening for his voice. It might be an audible thing where you actually hear his voice in your head. Some people experience that. It's not how it is for me. For me, he speaks to me a lot through my emotions, through my thoughts. When I'm listening to God, sometimes I'll just feel a warmth and a peace that I can't quite put words to. Sometimes I'll have a thought pop into my head that I wouldn't normally think of, or a Bible passage that I haven't read in months. Maybe that's how you'll experience God. The beauty is that he speaks to us all differently. So whatever it looks like for you. But if I'm being honest, sometimes when I'm sitting and I'm trying to listen to God, I don't hear anything at all. Sometimes I won't feel anything. Sometimes I'll just be sitting. And that's okay, because this sitting in silence and listening, it's a spiritual practice. Practice in that it takes time to become good at. So it might be hard to start with. Some of you, I can see some of you nodding, just like, yes, this sounds like a great idea. I love sitting in silence. I love being by myself. I just love listening to God. But other people, if you're a bit more extroverted, that might not be the case. You might be like, oh, silence isn't a very good idea for me. But I would still recommend you at least give it a try. And just start small. Start with where you're at. It might not be half an hour in the morning when you wake up. It might just be 10 minutes before you go to bed, or 5 minutes somewhere. I think if I were to set you a challenge this week, can I set you guys a challenge for this week? Spend 10 minutes once this week to spend time with God. Just sitting in the silence and listening. If you can't find 10 minutes somewhere in your week this week, I think you need to slow down. You need to do less. But I think a lot of you, if not all of you, will find this really helpful. And it will just be a great way to meditate, to become quiet. It will be great rest for your soul. It's a really strong and powerful way to experience God's love, to experience his presence, and to grow in our faith. A heroic faith is built on listening. Just imagine the good that will come of that. the peace and the freedom that will come from listening and obeying God with our lives. Imagine if we all did that as a church family. If every single one of us didn't just read the Bible for the sake of reading it, but actually read it and seeing it as an opportunity to listen to God and hear what he has planned for us. And then not just to listen, but to also obey, to live out the life that he has intended for us, to choose obedience over giving in to temptation, we would be extremely different, extremely different to the rest of the world, but we'd be different in the best possible way. Because at the end of the day, our society isn't really all that different to the society that was Egypt back in the day. We might not have a pharaoh dictating over us, telling us what to do, when to do it, but we are slaves. We're enslaved to social media, we're enslaved to work, to sex, relationships, money, status, power, social image. I could stand up here and just list these off all day. I could go on and on and on. Because this world is in spiritual slavery. And God is the way out. God sends us to make disciples of all nations, to liberate people from this spiritual slavery that they find themselves in. To be like Moses. But how can we be like Moses? By listening and obeying, by choosing to shema in the silence, when the world would much rather us work ourselves to the point of exhaustion, and then even more so. By taking time out to connect with God in a deep, real, personal, intimate way. I'll leave you with this. In Exodus, God says to the Israelites, if you listen and obey me fully, or shema me fully, as I would have said in the original translation, if you shema me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all the nations, you will be my treasured possession. We are God's treasured possessions. God's love for us is so far beyond anything we could ever imagine, so far beyond anything we could ever comprehend or understand. It's so deep. Experiencing this love is what allows us to become fully human, and it allows us to live the life that God intended for us. And I just can't think of a better way to experience that love than to just sit in the silence, listening to a God just pouring out his love over you, saying, I love you. You are my child. You are my son. You are my daughter. You are my treasured possession. You are precious to me, and I love you. These are the truths God speaks to us over our lives. I would love for you to experience that from the very lips of God himself. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you and praise you that you're a God of love who just speaks life over us, who showers us with grace and mercy constantly. That despite all our disobedience, all the times that we refuse to listen, all the times we refuse to shema, that God, you are just so forgiving and you continue to seek relationship with us. You continue to love us. You continue to forgive us. Father, we thank you and we praise you for that. God, I pray that as we walk away from today, that we would be changed. Father, I pray that as we go into our weeks and we find times of silence to sit with you, to listen to you, Father God, I pray that you would speak to us. Father, I pray that your spirit would be stirring within us, speaking life over our lives, showing us the love that you have for us. In your name we pray. Amen.
Well, I hope you enjoyed the message. And if you want to connect with us further, you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/Gawler Uniting Church. Thanks and see you next time.